I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Okay, before I get into the top stories, for 30 days now, gas prices have steadily been going up around the country, and particularly in the western states, Washington being one of the worst. We have the fifth highest gas prices in the country. There are a lot of places in Washington where gas is back over $6 a gallon. This is going to feed even worse inflation. This is going to be even a bigger drain on the economy as we are in or heading toward an even deeper recession. It's pretty bleak out there. Let's hope that Joe Biden has hired an economic advisor who's a little sharper than he is. Brian Deese, what do you say?
U.S. gas prices are going up now. They have been going down. They're going up because of oil price rise. So what in the short term is available, given that this is something that's on consumers' minds across the country right now?
So, number one, let's, you know, take stock of where gas prices are today.
This is Biden's economic advisor? Do they only hire people who are mentally incompetent to make Joe look a little bit better by comparison? So then he was pressed on gas prices and the economy.
On that broader economic perspective, is the White House concerned that the economic trajectory right now, given the labor market, the oil prices, interest rates, is sort of heading in the wrong direction after the summer when things seem to be getting better?
Well, I would say the most I think the most significant mark of the American economy right now is its resilience, the resilience of the labor market.
I think they all have dementia. I think every one of them has dementia. This is unbelievable. And then you got Seattle's favorite congresswoman. Now maybe I have dementia. What's her name again?
Kamala Jayapal.
Oh, yeah, her. So she says that the Russians and the Saudis, now the reason we are beholden to the Russians and the Saudis and the Venezuelans for gas is because Joe Biden is from before he was installed as president, he said that he was going to kill the oil and gas industry. And everything he and the radical left have done, all in the name of getting a good ecology scorecard, it's been all about destroying the oil and gas industry. So now we have to rely on our mortal enemies who pump oil still to get the oil flowing. And so what's her name again?
Kamala Jayapal.
Yeah. So she says that the Saudis and the Russians, they are doing this to hurt the Democrats in the upcoming election.
That this move was done between MBS and Putin and others who want to affect the U.S. election. I just don't see how else you can look at this a month before the election.
Yes, because the Russians and the Saudis, they hate dealing with a mentally diminished president who can't string a sentence together. They would much rather deal with sharper crackerjacks who are going to get elected in November than have America's best interests at heart. Now, I think maybe they like it the way it is now. They like dealing with the dementia. It's a lot easier for them. So I don't know what in the world
Kamala Jayapal
is talking about when she says this.
We don't like October surprises. And when the election is this close, I still believe that we have a very good shot of maintaining the House and hopefully expanding the Senate. But it's close, Pamela. We all know that. And the idea that...
Wait a second. Who is she talking to there, Nicole? Did you hear that?
What? Yes, I mean, I heard it. I know that she was talking to CNN.
Did you hear the name of the person she was talking to? Here, listen.
And hopefully expanding the Senate. But it's close, Pamela. We all know that.
Oh, yeah, Pamela.
Pamela? Wait a second. Did
Pamela Jayapal.
Just call the person talking to her? Pamela? What's going on here? Is everybody named Pamela now? Is this some new thing?
Hopefully expanding the Senate. But it's close, Pamela. We all know that. And the idea that Putin and Vladimir Putin and MBS are essentially...
Okay, we've heard it all. All right, so we got a bunch of crackerjacks in charge, but the Russians and the Middle Eastern nations, they want to shuffle these people aside because they're just too tough to deal with. They're too mentally sharp to deal with. Oh, man. All right. Oh, one other thing. I'm going to float something. Nicole is the producer of this show. Let me know how you feel about this idea because, as you know, we're always trying to broaden our audience. We have the most listened to show in America, but if we can get more listeners, all the better. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking, I think there's a way to get even more women listening to our show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just came up with it. Well, I was watching John Fetterman, another crackerjack dem, and he was talking about he's going to change his name, which is Fetterman. He's going to change it to appeal to more female voters.
My name is John Fetterwoman!
Well, who are the women cheering for that? Can you imagine? Because I'm thinking about this. If this will get us a broader audience, if this gets the ladies listening in even greater numbers, I, starting today, my name is Dory Mondaughter. And with that...
I think you're already covering it with Dory.
What's that supposed to mean? Wow. Nicole's got the knives out today. But seriously, what kind of a politician? I mean, maybe the audience is even more slow than he is. John Fetterwoman. Ah, yeah.
Thank you,
Fetterwoman.
Maybe they're just clapping because that's the first, you know, sentence he's...
Wow. Okay. With all that as mere prelude, we have some very serious news to discuss here as well. With all that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, Dory Monson show exclusive.
I haven't seen any Seattle media cover this story, but once again, Jay Inslee's benign neglect of mental health in this state is directly responsible now for the murders of two innocent people. Now, let me explain. You know the story of Alexander J., mentally ill criminal, lifetime criminal, who threw one woman down the light rail stairs, breaking several bones. He stabbed another woman 10 times on a metro bus, and they caught him. They put him in jail. A judge says he's not mentally competent. You got to get him a mental health bed in the mental hospital. And they didn't do it quick enough, so the judge said, hey, King County taxpayers, State Washington taxpayers, you got to pay Alexander J. $250 a day or more than that? It was a lot of money. I think it was $250 a day. So anyway, we now owe this mentally ill criminal $30,000 that I'm sure he's going to invest in some value mutual funds going forward. He probably won't buy drugs with it, I'm guessing. So we're ordered to give this mentally ill criminal $30,000. And this is, you know, a recent sign of the mental illness of our mental illness system. Well, I have another story, and now we've got the blood of two beloved innocent people on Jay Inslee's hands once again. I'm going to tell you the story of a 28-year-old guy from our state named John Cody Hart. John Cody Hart is another career criminal. He was down in Clark County, down in Southwest Washington, Vancouver, Washington area. Good people there. That's where my wife's from. But he's not one of those good people. John Cody Hart, he was arrested for a brutal, violent first-degree and second-degree assault. And he was in jail awaiting trial on first and second-degree assault. But there was a huge problem. He was supposed to, or he did go to trial before a judge, or had a hearing before a judge on July 22nd. But the judge said, oh, this dude's too mentally ill to stand trial. We can't put him on trial. You got to put him in a mental hospital, and we'll see if we can restore his competency so that we can charge him and try him for these violent, felonious assaults. That was on July 22nd. Well, on August 1st, they still didn't have a bed in a mental hospital because Jay Inslee has let our state's mental health system go down the toilet, so much so that Western State was decertified a few years ago. So they didn't have a room for John Cody Hart in a mental hospital. So his defense attorney said, hey, since they aren't putting him in a mental hospital, why don't you just let him go? Which sounded outrageous, because this is a violent career criminal who is also mentally ill. I mean, what kind of horrific things would he do if the state of Washington let him go? Well, sadly, we now have the answer to that, because 9 days after that, when he was ordered to go to a mental hospital on August 1st, a judge named Robert Lewis, he said, well, since you didn't put him in a mental hospital, we're just going to let this violent felon go free. And everybody said, well, no, that's crazy. He might be crazy. That is crazy. If you're going to let a violent, mentally ill criminal go free. But that's exactly what happened. Now, I'm going to let an Idaho TV station, KTVB, pick it up from there.
A Clark County, Washington prosecutor confirmed John Cody Hart was charged with first and second degree assault last August in Clark County. He said an evaluation found Hart was not competent to stand trial. The judge ordered he go to Western State Hospital, Washington's mental health hospital, to try to restore competency in mid-March. That prosecutor, Luka Vidasovic, says Hart was in jail for months, waiting to be transported to the psychiatric hospital. On July 22nd, court records show Hart's defense asked he be released from jail before going to the hospital because he'd been in jail for so long. But Vidasovic says Hart was set to be admitted August 1st, just days after that hearing, so prosecutors asked the judge to keep him in jail until then. Plus, he was charged with a serious violent felony, so they felt it would be safer. The judge, Robert Lewis, sided with the defense and let Hart out of jail on supervised release with conditions. So at this point, someone who's not competent to stand trial is out of custody, waiting to be called up to the state hospital. Vidasovic says the hospital prioritizes its limited open beds for people who are in custody because their situations are more pressing and urgent.
Okay, this is, you hear about the criminal-friendly left? This is the criminal-friendly left. Judges, defense attorneys, Jay Inslee, who hasn't fixed anything with our criminal or mental justice systems. So here's a guy, career criminal, violent felon, mentally ill. They said, we got a bed for him in 9 days. Just hold him in jail until then. But this judge, far left judge, looks like he's a Jay Inslee appointee. I'm confirming that. Robert Lewis. He said, no, we're not going to hold him in jail for 9 more days. We'll just let this violent, mentally ill criminal go free.
The court has reviewed this matter extensively at the request of the defense and given the state ample opportunity, both from its local representatives and from the state of Washington, to provide an explanation as to why, despite repeated dates when they indicated he would be transported, Mr. Hart has not been transported for competency restoration. Do this with some reluctance, as the charges against Mr. Hart are very serious. He's charged with a Class A felony.
You listen to that. Class A felony. I'm doing this with some reluctance because this is so serious. All they had to do was hold him for 9 more days. And as you can probably tell, I'm building towards something here. But there's the incompetency of Judge Robert Lewis on display as well.
Mr. Hart has not been transported for competency restoration. Do this with some reluctance, as the charges against Mr. Hart are very serious. He's charged with a Class A felony, assault in the first degree. Apparently, however, the seriousness of the charges is not sufficient for the state to place a priority upon his competency restoration. I simply can't continue to hold him on the expectation that maybe someday they'll come pick him up.
It's crazy. It was going to be 9 more days before they had a bed for him in the mental hospital. So Judge Robert Lewis let a violent, mentally ill criminal, career criminal, go free.
His motion to dismiss is denied. His motion to release is granted. He'll be released on supervised release.
Well, guess what happened after Judge Robert Lewis let John Cody Hart walk free, a violent felon mentally ill. John Cody Hart immediately left Clark County and went over to Idaho. He went to a small town called New Meadows, Idaho. There's a motel in town. Some say it's more like a bed and breakfast. John Cody Hart checked in to this motel. And the owners of the motel, a 47 and 45-year-old couple, Rory Mahan and Sarah Mahan, they got reports from some of the other tenants there, some of the other guests, that this crazy man was going through their drawers in the dressers in their rooms. And it's because John Cody Hart believed that the other guests at this motel, at this inn, had stolen his children's socks. There were no children. There were no socks. So the owners got called, Rory and Sarah. And they found John Cody Hart with these socks in his hands. And they said, hey, you got to put that down. You can't steal the other guest stuff. And you can probably guess what happened next.
This arrest warrant affidavit from Washington County, Idaho, shows Hart told a detective he went through drawers inside the Heartland Inn looking for socks he thought belonged to his children. A man and woman told him he couldn't go through other people's rooms. Hart told detectives the two people, quote, snatched everything from his hands, making him feel like a thief. Hart said this made him angry, caused him pain, and he felt the couple was like Bonnie and Clyde. The affidavit says a deputy was called to the inn where he talked with Hart and then left. The shooting happened 24 minutes later. In the affidavit, detectives say Hart told them he went to the front counter and shot the man and woman, which we later learned were the Meehans. The Adams County prosecuting attorney filed a notice of his plan to seek the death penalty for Hart, saying the murders were especially heinous or cruel. Hart, meanwhile, is in jail without bail. A status conference is set for October 17th.
The people in this community are devastated because Rory and Sarah Mahan were beloved. They're wonderful, wonderful people. They're living their dream. They wanted to just open an inn, be hospitality hosts in a small town in Idaho. But because Jay Inslee has led our mental health system in another state, this is in Idaho where he killed these two people. But Jay Inslee's let our mental health system go completely down the toilet. A liberal judge lets a mentally ill, violent felon walk free. Somehow he got a gun. I don't know how that happened. I mean, if you're mentally ill and a felon and a career criminal, there should be laws that say you can't. Oh, there are laws? Oh, criminals don't always follow the law? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that explains that part then. So, Jay Inslee, complete deterioration of the mental health system. A liberal judge saying we can't even hold this guy for 9 more days for the good of society. A lovely couple was murdered, tortured, and murdered in cold blood. So what Jay Inslee does doesn't just affect our state. It affects lives elsewhere. It is another shocking indictment of the benign neglect. Jay Inslee, he doesn't talk about crime ever. He doesn't talk about the record murders in his state. He doesn't talk about the failed mental health system in his state. Like global warming, climate change. That's all he talks about. And innocent people die because the voters of Washington, three times now, have voted such an incompetent man into the governor's mansion here. And that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
I'm going to check the news for you, and then a lot of people are talking about an interview I did 2 hours ago with somebody who's supposed to be a police advocate, sounding like he couldn't care less about the cops that his organization says they support. Details straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Here we go. Getting all kinds of interesting tips from listeners. I always get interesting tips from listeners. A story that is generating an awful lot of buzz. We told you at the beginning of the show that there's maybe the architect of the main architect of why murders and crime has risen so dramatically in our state the last year and a half. Jesse Johnson, state Democrat legislator. Jesse Johnson, he was on Twitter, and he says that any politician like Cassie Franklin, the Everett mayor, who's pretty rock-solid progressive Democrat, but because she spoke out against some of the police handcuffing laws that have made this the most criminal-friendly state in the country, Jesse Johnson calls her a Republican in Democratic suit, which is ridiculous because Cassie Franklin is a very liberal Democrat. I still talk to her. She still talks to me. We can get along. Why can't we all get along? But another thing that Jesse Johnson said is that the reason that police are upset about the criminal-friendly bills that Jesse Johnson sponsored is because it means that some cops can't go around killing people, which is a despicable thing for anybody to say. For a Democrat in our state legislature, it just proves what I've been telling you for a couple of years now, and that is the Democrats in Olympia are the single biggest contributor to the crime problem in our state. Cops can't chase car thieves. Cops can't investigate many crimes unless they witness the crime being committed. Cops cannot do any kind of a pursuit unless they think it's a DUI or a felony that the guy committed. So every car thief knows, just hit the gas, get away. And I mean, it's insane. And that's why our murder rate has hit an all-time record high in so many cities across the state. It's why we have the worst car theft problem in the nation, the worst property crime problem in the nation. More catalytic converters are stolen in Washington State than any place in the nation. And we have the lowest number of cops per capita of any state in the United States of America. Now, Jesse Johnson said that cops are upset because they can't go around killing people. Shockingly, the second biggest police organization in the state, the Washington Fraternal Order of Police, they refuse to condemn what Jesse Johnson said. They said that, oh, we're going to work with Jesse Johnson, which was amazing to me because these are cops and the organization is supposed to be about cops. And I seem to be more upset for cops than the cop organization, the Fraternal Order of Police, is. And I asked their president, Marco Montblanco, about Jesse Johnson's comments. I've heard you say that you just don't agree with everything Representative Johnson has to say. Can you clarify for me?
Yes, obviously, as an active working cop myself, hearing comments, hearing a comment like that, does put a pause, and wonder why, because we understand that 99.9% of our officers leave their homes every day. And they're professional and they're just wanting to do the right thing. And they don't leave their homes hoping to get into a deadly force encounter. So, we understand that. I would love to, I would hope that Representative Johnson was just commenting based on emotion because of a very heated Twitter war between him and Jason Rantz. But and hopefully at some point he can walk back those statements. But I know at the end of the day, our officers work very, very hard, and we don't go out there trying to or wanting to commit or wanting to kill people.
But Mark Amadablock said, I hope that Jesse Johnson was just making some heated comments on Twitter. This isn't some random idiot on Twitter. This is a member of the Democratic State House of Representatives who is the sponsor of the bills that has made this one of the murder capitals of the United States. And I'm hearing this fraternal order of police say, well, maybe Jesse Johnson was just heated when he said that cops just like to go around killing people. Why would this guy, why would the fraternal order of police try to find some justification for a member of the state house, a Democrat in Olympia, to make that kind of scurrilous accusation about cops?
You said you want him to clarify that. What clarification could he make that would make that even remotely acceptable?
You know, I think that's, Representative Johnson, needs to be asked those questions. I think that all of us in law enforcement believe it's not accurate, and he needs to be able to answer truthfully what he really believes.
None of this made sense to me. He said, well, Jesse Johnson's going to answer that. I wasn't talking to Jesse Johnson. I was talking to the president of the Washington Fraternal Order of Police and how he said that they're still working with Jesse Johnson, who is the architect of so many murders, of the blood of so many young black and brown men in Washington state can be directly put on the hands of State Rep Jesse Johnson. Because the murder rate has gone up dramatically since his bills passed. And I was really shocked that a police organization was taking such a soft stand against somebody saying cops just like to kill people. Why would you play along with him in any way after all this?
You know, the fact of the matter is when it comes to legislators in the legislative process, there's a lot that we have to consider because there's a lot of changes that need to be made, and us getting into a war on Twitter with our legislators only provides a further division. We need to be able to get to the table and talk with each other and not about each other. That's what the FOP's approach has always been. We need to be able to fix these things that have been changed and that make it harder for our law enforcement profession to do their job. And so our job is to go there in the legislative arena and work with our legislators to continue that progress.
But there's a problem. Jesse Johnson has resigned. He's not going to serve after this term. You can't go and negotiate with somebody who's no longer a legislator.
Why wouldn't you condemn that? I mean, I really don't understand this.
Well, he's definitely wrong with what his statement was. First of all, from two different fronts, we didn't support all the laws that were enacted. We worked hard on trying to move that needle from where they were going to be to where they ended up. Still wasn't fully where they should have been, and we understand there's pieces of it that we couldn't support. But even last year, trying to work with our legislator to move that needle even further, the FOP played a very important role in that. And so, yes, us supporting all the bills is not accurate. We supported what we could and supported the different sections of what we could. But at the end of the day, we couldn't get there on several of them. The comment that was made about, our law enforcement profession is just inaccurate. We are not out there trying to hurt people. We are there trying to provide a service to our community.
I told him, and I'll tell you again, I can't believe that I'm more upset what Jesse Johnson said about cops going out to kill people than the Fraternal Order of Police, which is supposed to be about supporting our cops. No wonder it's so tough to find great cops in our state. The infrastructure is completely broken from our politicians to some of these police organizations. Quick time out, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio next here on the Dory Monson Show.
And
down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And still much more to do as we count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
You know, I mentioned the mentally ill felon, violent felon who Jay Inslee let loose, and he goes to Idaho and kills a beautiful young couple. Does this ring true? This is the Democrat mayor of Minneapolis talking about violence.
There are areas in the Twin Cities, in Minneapolis, where it is easier to buy a gun than a fresh apple. Now, why is that? Because there aren't gun shops in Minneapolis.
In fact, I just got a caramel-covered gun a couple days ago when I was in Minneapolis. Let's see. Anthony Fauci. Ooh, Halloween. Scary.
What scares you the most? 1,000 kids coming to my door breathing on me.
Marshawn Lynch, he had a running style that was bruising. It was punishing. He would just keep running over would-be tacklers, would-be defenders. This is not edited. Marshawn says every word that you're about to hear in this soundbite as he described why his running style was so effective.
That's when it just clicked in my mind that if you just run through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't going
to... I like that idea. Just run through somebody's face. Can you elaborate, Marshawn?
Through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't going to be able to take that over and 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 over again. They're just not going to want that.
Think there's a deeper metaphor there?
Run through a face. Then you don't have to worry about them no more.
Be laughing at that. I mentioned yesterday that when, that's what I try to do on this show every day. Just run through people's face. Tuesday night, Aaron Judge hit his 62nd home run of the year. The play-by-play call went to John Sterling, the Yankees radio play-by-play voice. He's been doing it for over 30 years. And, man, he's 84 years old. I think he sounds pretty good for an 84-year-old.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record. Aaron Judge hits his 62nd.
He's 84 years old. I mean, doesn't he sound
good? American Leaguer has hit in a single season. And the American League has been alive for 120 years. This is Judgment Day. Case closed.
Age 84, just very articulate. But, you know, most people, even within 5 years of 84, 79-year-olds, they can sound equally sharp.
From Charlotte. Another line going from in Florida
of Putin's cracker.
The nature, not a solid meeting with here's what drives the driver in the states that are affected. Here's what you can do, the drivers.
We want to expand pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds, millions of free care.
Come on, man. All right, I got to get out of here. The John Carlin and Sherry Ellicott show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Adam.